Blog Talk Radio.
In the Know with Mo. This is your host, Maureen Forte, coming to you live tonight, which is a Saturday night here in Chicago, Illinois. My guest tonight is Claude Stevens. Claude Stevens is a licensed professional counselor, LPC, and our topic of discussion tonight is depression and suicide. Are you depressed? Learn the dangers of untreated depression and how this may lead to serious and life-threatening problems, even suicide. I know it seems like I'm the strong person who can get through anything, but inside I'm fragile. I've had so many things thrown at me, and each one has only made a crack. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? What I'm afraid of is shattering. The author of that little quote is unknown. I want to welcome to our live line Mr. Claude Stevens. Welcome, Claude. You are live on the air on In the Know with Mo.
Okay, thank you, Maureen. Appreciate it.
And so we're going to be talking about depression. Depression and suicide awareness. Now, I understand that you are a licensed professional counselor, and our topic tonight is depression. It seems like, and I don't want to make a racial thing out of it, but I want to touch home to African-American families. It seems like depression and suicide, why is it so prevalent in our African-American families in this 2012 year?
I think what happens, Maureen, is we suffer far more problems relative to unemployment, racism, and the whole process. And that's something I think that African-American, mainly geared for African-American men, we really don't address it. We really don't deal with it. There's a Dr. Gloria Morris has a book. It's called Too Broken to Be Fixed. And she gives three reasons why African-Americans sometimes don't seek help for depression, as well as when we have incidents of suicide. And she says one of the things is the stigma, the tradition associated with mental illness. We don't identify with it. That's not us. That's someone else. And many times African-Americans... Go ahead.
So basically, we're walking around in a state of denial. That's not me.
That doesn't relate. And many times it's perceived as a weakness. It's perceived as a weakness, and it's something that people look at it in shame. You're depressed, you know. My dad used to say sometimes if someone says, "Get yourself together," you know, that type of thing. Like the person says, "Well, just get yourself together, and it's okay." And the one thing I think the world would oppress the African American, especially for African American men, depression is not something that a person wishes upon themselves. No one, I don't know anyone who says, look, I want to be depressed. It's an illness. It's an illness. And once we recognize that it is an illness, I think we can deal with it. We can deal with it from that perspective. And many times I'll tell women that, like, say for instance, if your husband, something has happened to your husband, and you think that person is depressed. So how do I know if he's depressed? Say if you've got a person who's suffered some type of loss in life, something tragic has happened in that person's life, and say maybe that person is not getting around, they're not doing things. I've had those situations where the wife will say, well, you know, He hasn't gotten up. He's been dragging around for almost 2.5 weeks. He's mopey. Mm-hmm. He's irritable, and all those things. That's depression. But many times, I tell a wife, if your husband goes to see the doctor, go in with him. Go mm-hmm. in with him. Because many times the men would downplay it.
Right.
No, that's
right.
Not me. That's not what's going on. In reality, that's what's going on. I want to point out, Maureen, the difference between depression and grief. Grief
mm-hmm.
is a normal emotional reaction to a significant loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's an essential component. Everyone, the essential thing, the difference is people recover from grief. Grief is
mm-hmm.
natural. Say someone dies in your family, or the dog gets hit by a car or something. And many times I hear people will say, oh, man, I'm depressed. No, they're grieving. The difference is, the key component is, from grief, there's an end. When a person is suffering from major depression, they see no joy. They see no pleasure. And wives sometimes will say, well, he hasn't been doing anything, even to the point of being intimate with their wives. It doesn't happen. They don't enjoy the favorite sports. It's a total thing. So many times when a person is going to be diagnosed, one of the key things they use is the diagnosis criteria for illnesses. It's a diagnosis, they call it the DMS-4.
Mm-hmm.
But many times the wife, you can just observe and see that person is suffering from some form of depression. And I tell people,
well,
let's look at,
you are an LPC, a licensed professional counselor,
yes.
And right now you're speaking on depression as it relates to a married couple. But what about depression in, say, college students? What about depression in people who are not married or in a relationship? Sometimes that tends to cause depression, you know, because they don't have that extra somebody there. No.
Well, let me say something more in terms of that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give the impression that I was just using that as an example of what happened. Because
okay.
many times what we're finding with some of the statistics, some of the highest rate of depression that you have is among young people. It's
mm-hmm.
young people in terms of college students, in terms
mm-hmm.
of depression, as well as suicide, as
mm-hmm.
well as suicide. That's they have a very high ratio with that age group.
And I know, Mr. Stevens, you had mentioned earlier that depression is a form of mental health disorder. And here in Chicago, so many clinics have been closed, and we have so many people walking around with mental illness. And I mean, for them to close these viable clinics in the neighborhoods, in fact, in the black community, all these mental health clinics have been closed. So now we have people walking around who are depressed, who are suicidal. And back in the day, people would say, well, black folks don't commit suicide. What they would do is kill you to see what death looks like. But that's not true anymore. That was just a saying. But, so many African-Americans have taken their own lives, and because they're, what can be done?
Let me tell you this, Maureen. At one point, I was a volunteer at the in Batavia, at Suicide
mm-hmm.
Prevention Services. At one time when I was volunteering there, we would have 20, we'd be on 24 hours. In other words, I worked a hotline. I had over
mm-hmm.
1,163 hours on as a hotline trainer and a volunteer. Many times I would come to work, I'd work from 4 to 8 or from 4 to 12, and a night shift came in. I was calling
mm-hmm.
to check the number. That doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
With the cutbacks, that doesn't happen. At one point, a person could call, and they would get us direct. Now those calls are routed someplace else. If you dial some numbers I have to give you, they will say this call is being routed to your nearest agency. And
mm-hmm.
what happens when the clinics and like that call close, people are suffering. People are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And they're voiceless. Because many times, like I said, they don't know where to go to get help. And also, when they start making these cuts, they cut those programs where people aren't as vocal, and it's sad, and it's sad, it's tragic.
We have a chat message here. The question is, Mr. Stevens, what advice can you or would you give? What advice would you give if someone discusses their feelings of suicide with you? What should I do?
If someone discusses suicide with you, the first thing you do is talk to that person. And when I said talk to that person, mm-hmm. don't be afraid. Go meet them head on and says, okay, are you thinking about suicide? And when if the person says they are thinking about suicide, you know, don't act shocked. You know, you stay calm with as you talk with them, and say, okay, tell me about it. What's going on? Set up a dialogue with them. Set up a dialogue with them. Let me tell you something that happened, and I'll get back to one of the things. We have a program that's called QPR. About a month ago, Maureen, I had a situation with some family members. We'd gone out to breakfast. As we were having breakfast, one member says, you know, I'm having difficulty sleeping. And I says, okay, and we continue drinking the coffee and what have you. He said, you know what, and I purchased a gun. And I said, yes.
Oh.
He said, and I'm afraid of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, sometimes I can't sleep. I think I'll wake up and I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
It was four of us at the table. And I'm looking to get a dialogue with him to say, what's going on? And one person continued to eat, and the other person was like talking about what the White Sox are going to do or what the Sox are doing. So I said, talk to me some more. Tell me some more about this. He said, I purchased another gun. And he said, I can't sleep. I said, oh, my goodness. So I said, let me talk with you. So we talked, but then he said, I had to go someplace. One of the things I did, Maureen, I called some of the agencies I know, some of the people I knew, and said, let's set something up. And then I said, I went back to the house, and I said, would you do this for me? Give me the guns. Think about this. You're thinking about you got guns, you're afraid of them, and you're in the bed sleep, and you think you're going to wake up. So one of the key things you do, remove the means. Remove the means. That's one of the things I say to people. Remove the means. In other words, find out what that person is talking about. If the person says, I'm going to take pills or something, give me the medication. Let me take the medications. It's the same thing. It's controversy in terms of it, about the guns, should you lock them up or those types of things. What I did was I said, look, give them to me. Let me keep them for a while until you get help. And when someone tells you this, you talk to them, you listen to them, and accept what they're saying. Accept what they're saying. Because many times when they're in pain. They're in pain. Mm-hmm. They're in psychological pain. And many times that's a relief for them. So what I did was I took the guns, I put them up, and I set up a situation where we went for counseling to see to someone. But I tell people, if that happens and the person is talking about suicide, don't tell them to go see somebody. Go with them. Go with them. This type of situation. The suicide crisis is really kind of limited in terms of when a person talking about suicide, it's transit. But what we look for as a counselor is what's behind it. What's behind it? You know what I'm saying? What's motivating that? Many times it's a lot of pain that person is suffering. Let me say something about the media. And many times when you read something from the media, they give the impression that it's, well, a person commits suicide for one single call. That's not it. It's something in that person's makeup that happens. But one of the things we say there is where many times if you go to any type of conference and things they have, they always think suicide and depression together. Mm-hmm. Reasons why? Because many times people who are depressed, major depression, is one of the key things for suicide. And when a person is depressed, to tie the two together, there is so much psychological pain that many times they can't do anything. They're immobilized. And one of the key mistakes that happens when the depression is lifting, generally say if you look in fact for the DMS-4, Depression, generally, they said, runs about 2 weeks. It runs about 2 weeks. And what happens, Maureen, the physical parts of it kick, the physical part where the person's more active, ready to move, kicks in before the emotional part. So the, if a person who's immobilized, they've been sleeping in the bed, not doing anything, they get up, they got more energy. But psychologically, they're still dealing with the depression. And so people will say, oh, man, I'm so glad so-and-so is getting better. That is one of the key danger signs. Because now the person
Let me ask you about, you had earlier mentioned about QPR, I believe it was.
Yes.
What does that stand for?
Okay, QPR is something that came from when I was working doing counseling, I mean, on the hotline at Suicide Prevention Services.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a doctor who came up with that. And I think I'll tell you, but his name is Quintel. If you know, to give you some papers, his name is Quintel. And the one thing he came up with, the forever decision. And the forever decision simply saying that you tell people when you're counseling them and you're talking about suicide, you said suicide is a permanent response to a temporary problem. A permanent response to a temporary problem. And then you want to tell the person, have you made mistakes in your life? Yes, we all have made mistakes in life. This could be a major mistake. Now, let me say what QPR, Maureen, is.
Mm-hmm.
QPR says question, persuade, and refer. Question the person about suicide. Do they have thoughts, feelings, plans? Don't be afraid to ask. And one thing you want to know, where that person is in terms of suicide. If the person says, you know, you're kind of rating them in terms of what they're talking about in terms of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you with this? If the person says, well, you know, I may do it, may do something. But say, for instance, the person says, yeah, you know, my grandfather committed suicide. You know, I lost my job last week. And
mm-hmm.
I have a plan. I'm going to stockpile. That person has a plan. That
mm-hmm.
person has a plan. Now, QPR, no, the second one I said is question, persuade, and persuade. Persuade the person to get help. Listen carefully. Say they can say, let me help you, or come with me to find help. And you go with them, and you take them
mm-hmm.
someplace. Refer the person. If it's a child or adolescent, contact an adult, parent, or call the minister, the rabbi, and they mention
mm-hmm.
the tribal leader, the teacher, the coach, or
mm-hmm.
someone. And call
so
the gifts.
Those are some of the contacts that people can contact with their having some problems to help the therapist. Or, you know, there are some people that could probably use your service but can't afford your service. So what would be the next thing?
Well, one thing I tell people to do, Maureen, that say, for instance, you have a person and that person said he or she is going to commit suicide. Go with that person, but connect that person with someone else. In other words, say I've had psychiatrists that have referred their clients to us for counseling, because
mm-hmm.
psychiatrists, they can't be there 24/7. But you have a lot of hotlines numbers where people can call, and some of those are manned 24 hours to talk
mm-hmm.
to someone. I've had people that I've talked with, a person who. So I really have suicide ideation. And this guy would call me maybe once a month and said, I'm feeling suicidal. And we would talk. And he would get better in that whole process. But you need to have some type of contact for that person. You know, I don't know if I'll give you that, the depression hotline. Now, this hotline, at one point, Maureen, it was 24/7. In other words, we have a depression hotline and a suicide line as well. Those are one and the same. And the one is like the local number. It's 1-630-482-9696.
Okay. Can you repeat that one more time?
Now, the first one is the depression hotline. It's 1-630-482-9696.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is 1-800-SUICIDE. And that's 1-800-784-2433.
Now, Mr. Stevens, now I know that I just want the audience to know a little something about you because we're 9 minutes before our show will end.
Okay.
So I know that you are a member, a very active member of Trinity United Church of Christ, where you serve as a deacon.
Yes,
there.
Ma'am.
And you're also a licensed professional counselor, LPC.
Yes.
And what are some of the events that you have coming up with what you're going to understand that there's something going on at Trinity that you're highly involved in? Would you like to take a few minutes to talk about that?
Oh, yes, yes. Now, what we're having next week, Saturday, October the 20th,
mm-hmm.
we have a men's retreat. And what we're going to do
mm-hmm.
at the men's retreat, what I'm going to do, we're going to have a session on depression and suicide. On depression
okay.
and suicide. And I think that's going to run from about 8 to 4:30. I'm going to have two sessions. And can I read something to you, Maureen, that I think that I've put on the front of this thing for the people, for the guys?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, look in the mirror and we see the face of many black men in this society suffering from depression and suicide ideation, not seeking help. We, men, must understand that depression and other related illnesses are treatable. There is no shame. This is no game. And that's important, to let the guys know that it's not an embarrassment to be depressed. It's not something that you
right.
wish upon yourself. It's an illness.
Right.
It's an
right.
illness. And let me ask you something. And then I tell the guys, if you think you have a person who's depressed or something, take them for a physical. And the reason I say go for a physical, because there are some illnesses that mask themselves where the person has, like, a thyroid condition is almost
mm-hmm.
similar to give the similar symptoms as depression.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. And then in addition to that, once the person goes, it's important that they have lab work. And then
mm-hmm.
if a person is taking any type of antidepressant medication, I don't believe in monotherapy. It should be
mm-hmm.
it should be maybe an antidepressant as well
mm-hmm.
as psychotherapy. And they've got a lot of literature now about exercise, how exercise really works. It really works. The Harvard Review gave a lot, the Harvard newsletter has a lot of interesting things about that, talking about how that works and how helpful
well,
it is.
I know that the suicide rate in the African-American community has really escalated. And, from my research, along with yours, stating that suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people ages 15 to 24. And it's the eighth leading cause of death among all persons. Suicide does not pick out one race or one gender. It's straight across the racial line. And it's straight across the economic lines. I mean, rich, poor, black, white, and other, all are depressed, can be depressed, and can be suicidal. So it's not a one-once-at-all.
But let me say this more. One thing, Dr. Carl Bell had mentioned at one time, we should do more research because of all the people dealing with depression and suicide and what have you, African-American women, the lowest rate of all, the lowest rate of all. And what happened, I was at a conference once, and I've mentioned it to the person who was giving the presentation. He says, well, that's middle-class women and that stuff. He's kind of brushed me off and all, but it's not. It's something that sustains them while they don't take their life. No more women attempt suicide, but more men complete suicide. And one of the reasons
mm.
is the means in which they use. The only
mm-hmm.
country where we have a higher suicide rate for women than men is China. And you know why?
Mm.
Because
why?
The women out in the field, they're dealing with those pesticides. And they take
oh.
them. And they take
mm.
them. Hey, Maureen, can I give you a couple of numbers if someone wants to call to get assistance for someone? The first one is the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide. The National Organization, and the number is 1-202-549-6039.
Okay, that's the National Organization
for people of color against suicide. And I gave you the Suicide Prevention and Lifeline. That's
right.
1-800-273-8255. The other one number, there's another number too. Another one I get a lot of material from and talk to someone there, just to keep you aware, is suicide awareness, Voices of Education, and that's 1-888-544-7283. Again, that's 1-888-511-7283.
I have another question here on the chat line. This
okay.
young lady says she is a sophomore in high school,
yes,
and she has been bullied and teased, and what she has been doing is keeping a journal of behavior and her day at school. Several times in many days I have felt very depressed and felt like just taking my life, and maybe if I took my life, then people would like me better if I didn't exist. Oh, sister, please, that's not true.
Now, let me say this to you, Maureen. Tell her one thing. Talk to her parents. Tell her parents mm-hmm. that what's happening. The school mm-hmm. takes a responsibility. Bullying's not like when we were, I'm in my 60s, it's not when we were in the school. It's terrible. But the big thing, let her know that if the whole world is kicking you in the head, don't you bump your head against the wall. Don't you
yeah.
bump your head against the wall. If they're doing it, don't you do it. And look in the mirror and see what you see. You're a beautiful person. God makes no mistakes. And sometimes people bully for a lot of different reasons. So that's important.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
we got 1 minute.
Davis, we're coming to the end of our show. It's only a half hour show, but I'd really like to invite you back to do another segment because
okay.
depression and suicide is a hot topic.
It is.
As we
it
get
is.
Into this presidential thing. So I would like for you to, if you don't mind, I want to thank you and also ask you to leave off with a little closing thought.
Well, the biggest thing I thought I said, I want to tell people to realize that whatever you're dealing with, we have no choice but to go on. And that's important, to look at yourself and say, whatever happens, I'm going to survive. Whatever happens, I'm going to survive. And then you do that. And then reach out. If you need help, reach out. Reach out to someone. That's about
reach out. And if it's young people, talk to your parents. And if you're active in a church home, talk to the priest or the pastors or your deacons at your church. And for those of you that are in school, talk to your teachers.
Yeah.
Talk
and share. Let people know what's going on. Don't suffer in silence and don't suffer in isolation.
Yes, I like that. Don't suffer in silence. Again, you have been listening to In the Know with Mo with my special guest this evening, Claude Stevens, licensed professional counselor, LPC. He's also a deacon at Trinity United Church of Christ, where he will be serving as a facilitator on the Trinity United Church of Christ Men's Retreat, which is going to be held on Saturday, October the 20th, and the topic will be depression and suicide awareness. I want to thank you, Claude Stevens, and I want to thank you, my listening audience. Until we meet again, stay focused and be blessed.
Okay, thank you.
Jesus, he won't let you die.